back. I am Diana Sands, and I'm in studio with Daya and Shaquille, artists who are featured in the Diagla Foundation's Salt and Earth, an amazing show that is on display until June 16th. You should go and see it. It is really striking. Omar Williams did some, of Wild Seed, he did a fantastic job in terms of complementing all of the artwork, creating this very natural, organic, earthy feel. It's really something that you should experience. It's so beautiful. So, Daya, I guess one of the questions I would have for you is, how do you balance your time in the studio with other commitments such as creating art, family, and your job? Shaquille will ask the same question to you too.
So I work part-time as a store manager out at a furniture store in Sandyport. And so that's typically 3 to 4 days a week, and I have a lot of flexibility. So the rest of the days in my week, I'm in my room painting because that's where my studio is. It's just like the other half of my bedroom, so it doesn't take that long to get there. and yeah, like it's been pretty good having that kind of schedule set up because it gets me out of my space and I have to interact with human beings. On the days that I do go to work, and then the other days I'm kind of just like door closed, like I'm focused and painting and spending hours in there. So yeah, I have a pretty good setup with that.
Yeah. So what about you, Shaquille?
Yeah, for me it's maybe a bit more complicated because I've always been a full-time worker. I'm a husband, I have a business, so it's a lot less, it's not as easy for me to carve out time. I pray for the day that I can just wake up, roll out of bed, crawl over to the other side of my room and start like doing art. That would be amazing. So for me, some of the challenges are like studio space. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we just, we're pretty minimalist. So we don't have like a huge space that we live in anyway. So I had to convert our little tiny kitchen into my studio.
Oh, no.
And I mean, you two are ladies, so mm-hmm. It drove my wife crazy. I paint over everything, and I work with like real insects and stuff in my work, and it's like in the kitchen. It's like terrible. So that's an issue. So right now, I'm trying to source a studio space so I can have a bit more room. Because trying to create in a claustrophobic environment, like, it's not good. Balancing time, to be honest, this was my first time producing an entire body of work. So what I did, and I don't recommend that other artists do it, is I just, like, threw all of my responsibilities to the wind. Good. And I just, like, locked myself in the kitchen for 4 months and just did nothing else but create. Don't do that, because you'll get fired, and you'll lose money at your business. So in the future, I hope to just balance it a bit better by just giving myself a lot more lead time. I think another part of it is the financial aspect of it. So for me, because my work is mixed media, I'm not just using like really high quality paints. Even though that can be really expensive, it's sort of an investment and you just pay it once and then you can kind of produce a lot of work out of it. But each piece has such unique and specific elements that differ from piece to piece. So the digital art is really easy. Not easy, but it's lower cost. But the more sculptural pieces, like the ones that we talked about, you're buying materials for each piece, and that can run you like into the hundreds of dollars.
Making art is expensive.
Art is expensive.
I don't think people realize how expensive it is.
Yeah. So when you see those prices, just to know, like, first of all, it took a lot of work to create this aesthetic the way it is and make it stay and permanent that way. But also the materials you use are really expensive too. And if you're not sourcing it here, which is already expensive, mm-hmm. especially with inflation now, you're bringing it in from away. And so
isn't
you have
like
to
45%
pay,
or something on most
on
stuff.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And the shipping companies want to charge you like the freight and this tax and that tax and whatever. So,
oh my gosh. I brought in paintbrushes from the States because I was like, I can't really find what I want here. And they sent it in this like 20-inch folder that was folded right. over. They charged me for that right. whole folder, and I was like, you folded it over, though. Right. And then, anyway, yes, yeah. it's very expensive.
The struggle is real, especially for an artist if you're not, like, I'm not the typical artist. Like, I have a very good job and a business, so I'm, like, okay. But most artists, they're trying to make a living from their art. And a $2,000, $3,000 piece doesn't sell like every week.
Right.
You know, so you're working, you're using that money. You have living expenses. You have to reinvest into your art career. And then you still need to put some aside for future projects and commissions and stuff like that.
Take this back to that struggling artist narrative, right?
Right, exactly.
So I guess on that note, so if you're a high school student, primary elementary school student, and you're considering a life choice or like, you know, in terms of, you know, what I want to be when I grow up, what's the advice that you would give? Because you have both sides of the coin. You have someone who knew right away in, you know, Daya, that you wanted to be an artist and you went straight for that path. And you have Shaquille who went the other direction, had the business, you know, the life setup, and then went back to it. I'm sure it's a very personal journey, but you can give them advice, things that, you know, where you found strength, where you drew inspiration, because it takes a lot of courage to create art and put it out there for critique and, you know, for to be dissected, appreciated or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, what would you tell someone who's entering into this field or considering becoming an artist?
Personally, I think that it's important to take business courses and really figure out how to sell yourself as an artist, because it's one thing to create art, but if you want to be an artist professionally, you have to learn how to sell that art afterwards. So learning how to like make your own invoices, how to make a website, how to photograph your work, like all of these things are so important in getting yourself out there and doing it professionally. So I think that really diving into that, and that doesn't mean that you have to go to school for that. Most of that stuff I learned, I did take a like a business art course 1 year, which was really helpful, but a lot of it I had to learn from reading blogs and going on YouTube and learning like how to package my work, and all of that stuff is really important to learn. It's not just creating. And then another piece of advice I would give is like, don't create in a bubble, because it's so easy. Like if it's super intensive, like you're in your space and you're creating and you're not with other artists and you're not like speaking to other people, it's easy to get trapped like in this bubble. And I think it's important to have conversations outside of that and really get involved in the community and like just keep trying to learn and read books and maybe speak to people on social media, like put yourself out there and get a portfolio out there, because there's a lot of people that come like into the shop at Sandyport and they're like, oh, I want to put my art, and I say, do you have a portfolio? And they say no. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit here and like look at pieces on your phone. And a lot of people agree with me on that. Definitely. Like, you need to have a portfolio.
We're going
to
plug the NHEB here. Please follow us on social media, because we do offer regular portfolio workshops that are free to the general public, specifically students. We are also here if you're applying for university. You know, a lot of these workshops help you through the application process.
No, it's very important. I appreciate that you guys are doing that.
So it's very important. So stay tuned and stay, you know, stay current with your favorite museum. But that's very good insight. What about maybe advice that you wish you would have had before? Well, what's one of the, I guess, what is the most aha thing you have? We can come back to that.
Yeah, I'm going to let you answer.
Yeah, but Shaquille, what about you?
So I would say, obviously, my journey was a little different. So I'm not speaking as an expert, because I'm still very much a new, I'm in the same boat as a high school student. but I would say a mentor is very important. At least it is for me. I don't currently have like a mentor, but the advice that I would give is to find a mentor, an art teacher, an artist, a gallery owner, somebody that's a part of the community, to not just advise you, but to bring you into the community, introduce you to artists, give you experience around the art culture, in the Bahamas or wherever you are. Because for me, the challenge, a lot of the challenges that I faced came from very practical things like pricing my work. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what's the rubric for pricing. Is there a formula? Is it just how I feel? I just feel like this is expensive. So I'll just, you know, like, right. What do you do? I mean, you know, you worked really hard on it, but how do you price work? That's something that a mentor would be able to help you with. I'll tell you a personal story. The show that I did, Evolution of the Ark, back in
November,
so
good. Which appeared at the National Art Gallery.
At the National Art Gallery, exactly. One of those pieces, well, both sold, but one of them was a part of a series, a limited edition series. So there were two editions. Both were purchased, and one was purchased by a collector in Jamaica. So I had to, and this is the first time I ever sold a piece of art, right? So I had to find a way of getting it to the person. So, like, I printed it, and I shipped it, and everything. And the lady was so excited. She spent a bunch of money on it. And, like, when she received it, I mean, she sent me this long email, and it was just terrible. Like,
oh, what?
Like, she almost wanted her money back because of the presentation of how I sent the art. It wasn't printed. I mean, the work was quality work, but it wasn't printed on the proper paper with the proper inks. It wasn't shipped in the proper tube. Like, these are things that if I had a mentor,
right,
they would be able to say.
Do you mind if I ask how you shipped it?
And so I went to the FedEx, right?
Uh-oh.
All right? I had bubble wrap around it, and it was rolled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, do you guys have a tube? No, we don't have no tubes. I was like, okay, will this be okay? Yeah, it's going to be okay. He took it from me, and he put it in the bag.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, well, it's the FedEx guy.
Just for your reference, Walmart sells, not Walmart, sorry, Bookworld. Bookworld sells quality plastic tubes that you can put art in. Just anybody who needs to know.
Seriously, I had no idea the concept of a tube. Like, I just know it. Right. You know, I didn't know.
But you were able to recover the relationship.
Oh, yes. I bent over backwards. You know, I found the most expensive archival printing format, the most premium paper. I mean, she got more than she paid for sure. And that relationship was... And actually, I did speak to somebody that helped me with how to manage that relationship, too. And, you know, this person is attached to galleries and, you know, other opportunities. And there are other opportunities coming out of that relationship too. So a mentor, I think, is really important because they'll help you navigate the landscape.
Yeah. Well, speaking of mentors, we can go back to Tessa Whitehead because she's such a creative professional and she's an amazing person to work with. And she also does her own phenomenal art, right? She also had a show, I think it was 2019, at the National Art Gallery that was very amazing. Mm-hmm. It was just, she had some really strikingly dark, beautiful images. Tell us about your experience with working with the Diaghilev Foundation. By the way, that's on Virginia Street, for those who don't know where it is. It's just come off of Bay on Virginia. It's a beautiful blue
and yellow
building on the right.
I tell people it's behind Flowers Building and they know what that means.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I kind of jumped into, Shaquille had his show and I jumped into it. So that was kind of my experience with that. I had my body of work and I was like, I'm ready to put it out there now. And so I had sent my portfolio to a few people and was kind of having conversations with them. And Tessa came back and said, you know, we're having a show with Shaquille and your guys' work would be so good together. And I was like, perfect. It does, like, our work really gels because it pulls on a lot of the similar themes. And, you know, you said, like, you do talking about, like, women's strength, especially, like, in a Caribbean space, and a lot of my work has to deal with that and dealing with nature and stuff. So I was really excited for that. And she's just, she's been helping us out and giving good feedback about, like, pricing. And certainly, they hung my work, and she was like, we don't need any help. I showed up, and I was just like, this is nice. Okay.
Yeah, Tessa and Leticia as well. Leticia is the other assistant there at the gallery. And even Saskia, really, they've all been tremendously helpful. I can tell you that Tessa, when she first approached me about the show and doing a body of work, you know, I had never done a body of work before. And so she wanted like 20 pieces. It's like, okay, I can do 20 pieces. Sure, 20 pieces, whatever. Yeah, sure. I didn't realize. Now, after I went and did the calculations, because I'm a businessman, so I have to, you know,
quantify things.
Yeah, to quantify things, is, you know. So when I calculated everything, I realized that because my work is a painting, I can't like polish the edges and make it look nice on a wall. I have to frame it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So framing is extremely expensive. Yeah. So I was like, I mean, I make money, but this is a lot of upfront investment. I have a wife. You know.
Well, I found that interesting too, because it created a lot of it. I like the 3D element, mm-hmm. To some of the work, to some of those pieces. Yeah. You know, the way the flowers are caught in there. First of all, Omar has the bottom framed with actual live flowers.
Yeah.
And so you're inclined to think that it's the flowers inside mm-hmm. are actually live as well. So it's just, it plays an interesting trick on the mind, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, talking about the cost of it to make it so, you know, it's difficult to explain to someone who hasn't seen it, but to draw you in that way.
Yeah.
And Daya, before we, I wanted to talk to you real quick about the tribute to Sisterhood, and the white eyes. I was very intrigued by that. Before we talk about your aha moment, mm-hmm. but definitely Shaquille, the framing you did an excellent job on.
I agree.
It was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're all gorgeous. But please, and if you haven't seen the show, it's this particular painting is of three beautiful women with parrots. They are like mermaids-ish. They get flying fish. It's just so beautiful and loving. But then she has white eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like I said before, I like to deal with like the spiritual aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that once you, like for me, I take the pupils, I take that part of the eye out. And it kind of takes away from the humanity of it and brings you more into, like, a spiritual place, which I kind of like to play around with. And, I mean, I don't like eyeballs looking at me. So it kind of, like, helps a little bit. But, yes, it does play with the spiritual component of that. And, like, I don't want people to look at a piece and be like, oh, who is this person? Like, is it so-and-so? And I'm like, this is not the point of the piece.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't want to explain who this person is because it's not a person. It's more of an idea. Mm-hmm. And removing the eyes has helped to take away from that question of
who is it. But
that also
speaks to how real, how realistic, the images or the people are presented.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get that, oh, who are you speaking about? That's also, you know, kudos to your technique as
Thank
well.
You.
You know?
Yeah.
So, well, we're about to wrap up. Any last words? Anything in particular you want to tell the audience?
Come see our show.
Yeah, come see the show. And just a formal thank you to the D'Aguila Art mm-hmm. Foundation for putting on the show and, you know, curating the show the way they did. They put three really great artists together, and I think they produced one of the best shows probably one of the best.
You're a little biased.
I am biased.
Well, I'm inclined to agree. It is a beautiful take. And the space, if you've been in the space, it's a small space, but you felt it. It felt intimate. It felt alive.
Yeah.
It felt like the work was living, breathing work.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Sure.
I wish Omar could speak to it, but yes, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Shout out to Omar.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It was certainly a pleasure. I look forward to hosting you again on Blank Canvas. And as we conclude another enjoyable episode, we would like to encourage you to visit the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, where we remain free for Bahamians and local residents. We also encourage you to go to the D'Aguila Foundation on Virginia Street. Check out their website. There's a lot of great information. There's information about upcoming shows and previous shows as well. Same for the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Visit our website, www.nagb.org.bs. Visit us today. We have free Wi-Fi in our art park, courtesy of Alive. Special thanks. And we'll see you guys next week.